The new Star Wars movie opened today. In some cities, the first screening was at 12:01 a.m. Called Episode One, The Phantom Menace, it's actually the prequel to the first Star Wars film. Our film critic John Powers is at the Cannes Film Festival, so we asked F.X. Feeney, film critic for the L.A. Weekly, to review the movie.
After all the smoke has cleared, it may be that this latest installment in the Star Wars saga has been anticipated to death. All over the country, otherwise reasonable people have camped out on sidewalks in front of movie theaters for a month and a half just to be the first to see Episode One. Most of these folks actually have lives, even jobs. Many have laptops. All have cell phones. Their passion is a panorama of friendly American fanaticism. At the high end, we have a genuine religious impulse. Star Wars promotes an orderly sense of the universe, in which good triumphs over evil, in which worlds end and begin, in which life and death have transcendent meaning. At the low end, it sparks a passion akin to baseball fever, delivering powerful, cliff-hanging excitements to large masses of people on a reliable basis. I'm no fanatic, but I'm a fan, and I had a great time at The Phantom Menace. I just wish the screenplay had a fraction of the strength and ingenuity that went into the picture's dazzling visuals. Star Wars has become such public property over the last two decades that anyone who's followed the films with any enthusiasm is going to show up with a private, possibly better, Episode One already sketched out in their heads. In order to see this movie clearly, you have to check your own at the door. The story centers around a special boy named Anakin Skywalker, who will grow up to be the father of Luke Skywalker, hero of the other series. Born into slavery on a Sahara-like planet, Anakin is discovered by the Jedi Knights, members of a space-going elite who keep order in the galaxy. The boy, played by newcomer Jake Lloyd, is sweet-natured, but a walking epicenter for that mysterious phenomenon called the Force. So much untapped power is concentrated in him that when he gets brought before the elders of the High Jedi Council, his existence is cause for alarm.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the Force. You believe it's this boy?
I don't presume to.
But you do. Revealed your opinion is.
I request the boy be tested, Master.
Oh. Trained as a Jedi, you request for him, hmm?
Finding him was the will of the Force. I have no doubt of that.
Bring him before us, then.
Now, because this is not a sequel but a prequel, a chronicle of the saga's beginning, those of us who know our Star Wars movies already know that this sweet boy will also grow up to be the evil Darth Vader. But if you've never seen Star Wars, you'd never guess that the Jedi are right to fear this boy. We're never shown that he has an unstable or dangerous side. If he'd been a bit more of a rascal, more of a wisecracking rebel, we'd be able to guess his potential for ourselves. As it is, we only know what we're told. The idea that an otherwise sweet kid could grow up to become an evil monster is a potent theme nowadays. George Lucas has always been a conscientious producer of morality tales. He has always seemed painfully aware that teen attitudes to violence may have been shaped by the cartoon painlessness of all those lightsabers and asteroid-blasting attack ships that were the birthmarks of the first Star Wars. Here, he comes within reach of doing even more, of exploring every child's infinite potential for evil and good. But sad to say, he shrinks away from this. Even so, he's attracted an outstanding ensemble of players. Liam Neeson, Samuel L. Jackson, Yoda puppeteer Frank Oz. Ewan McGregor plays the role pioneered by Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Natalie Portman is the teenaged queen of a paradisical planet. And Terrence Stamp is the besieged head of a galactic government. Alas, they're all beautifully dressed up with precious little to do. With the fate of the universe at stake, there could have been some mighty operatic interactions, conflicts, misunderstandings, reconciliations, tragic goodbyes, all the stuff that can bind you to a character and make you feel those unpredictable combinations of awe, pity, and terror. For all its eye-popping delights, a special opportunity has been lost with Episode One. It cries out for those inward effects that give any story an afterlife in the imagination.
F.X. Feeney writes about film for the L.A. Weekly.